Welcome to Heritage Fellowship's Sermon of the Week. We hope you're encouraged and challenged as we study the Word of God together. So it's good timing to be on this particular Beatitude, the week of Thanksgiving. So that's good. I could just preach down here. They could hold the mic. All right. I have just trying to play baseball with one arm tied behind your back. This could get interesting, but that's okay. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Happy Thanksgiving. So we are in Matthew, the life and teaching of Jesus. We're in an 8-week sub-series on the Beatitudes, and today is hunger and thirst for righteousness. A couple things I need to say up front. Today is the 24th. Apparently, you have the notes that I did yesterday on the 23rd. So if we could all, in a show of unity, pull out our pens and scratch out the 23rd on the top of your notes and just make that 3 a 4, that I would just write, it's all together. I did that for just a show of unity. That would be great. Thanks. I appreciate that. Also, if you notice in your notes or on the slides that we're missing the letter N anywhere, feel free to write that in. My N key is sticking on my keyboard. And many, many times I have hungered and thirst for righteousness. So if you see that, just you don't need to tell me. My key's sticking, and that's just what that is. I just felt the need to get that out of the way as well. Okay, any other announcements? So add the ends. Today's the 24th, and we're all on the same page. All right. Father God, we thank you for this day. And we love you. And we thank you for this opportunity just to be together and to share in your presence. God, I thank you that it's holy ground because you're here, and everywhere you are is holy, and we just want to be where you are. And we thank you that that's where we are this morning, together in your presence. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." So blessed. This is the definition of Makarios, the title of our sub-series that we have been working through. This is now Beatitude number 4. Makarios, blessed, is a state of existence in relationship to God in which a person is blessed from God's perspective, even when he or she doesn't feel happy or isn't presently experiencing good fortune. This does not mean a comfort or a conferral of blessing or an exhortation to live life worthy of blessing. Rather, it is an acknowledgement that the ones indicated are blessed. Negative feelings, absence of feelings, or adverse conditions cannot take away from the blessedness of those who exist in relationship with God. So blessed is a state of existence that we are in because God says that's where we are, whether we feel that way or not. So it's really important as we go through these Beatitudes that we keep that in mind. The other thing that's really important that we keep in mind is blessed are. Jesus' followers will actualize these ethical and moral ideals not as a means of entering the kingdom, but as an outgrowth of the kingdom life that we will be ours through the empowering of the Spirit. See, these Beatitudes are not something that we have to master in order to enter the kingdom, but it's something that's worked out in us as we walk out life in the kingdom. And so it's really important that we understand as we go through these things that we don't go, well, there's no way that I could be blessed. There's no way that I could be in the kingdom because I don't have these things. That's great. The realization that we don't have them is a really necessary, important step for entering into the kingdom where we'll begin to see these things worked out in our life as we walk out life in Jesus. So these aren't entrance requirements. So it's not, we don't sit here this morning and go, well, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, that's just not me, so this isn't for me. No, this is for you. This is for all of us because this will demonstrate what the life of a Christian will look like as we are perfected in the kingdom. This isn't about legalism. This isn't about prettying yourself up to be ready to have Jesus come in. We have, it's Christmas season in our house, so our house looks beautiful for Christmas, right? And it's so funny, we're going to have friends over, and it's like, well, we want to get to know these people and have them get to know us. So we're going to get our house like all cleaned up and smelling good and looking good and nothing anywhere that is anywhere out of place so they can know the real us. All right? It's not the way it works with Jesus. He knows the real you. You're not going to get yourself all tidied up and pretty enough to convince him that you're not who he knows you are. He's going to come in and convince you that who you think you are is not who you really are. And he's going to clean up your house from the inside out. So if we're sitting here going, well, when I get myself put together enough, it's just never going to happen. You can't do that without Jesus. So it's Thanksgiving week. Who's hungry like right now? This is going to be good. Who has not eaten anything in the last 24 hours? All right, so you guys might actually be hungry. We'll talk about that. But Thanksgiving, I'm excited about Thanksgiving because there's so much good food to eat at Thanksgiving, right? It's like the one meal that I don't feel a little, I don't know, perilous saying the blessing. Right, because I'm going to have pals for lunch today, and we'll ask the Lord to bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. And somehow, I just don't know that that's right. You know? But Thanksgiving, Lord, thank you for this food. And like, I really mean it. Like, pals, thank you that I have something that I won't be sick later, and I'll live till supper is kind of more what I... Like, I love pals, don't get me wrong. I would pray that way. But Thanksgiving. I mean, my mom makes this dressing that she starts like 3 days before, making like the biscuits and the cornbread, and it's just so, I mean, I can you see it baking right? Oh, it's just so good. And potato salad, where the potatoes all are the exact right size, and they're cooked to perfection, not mushy, but not crunchy. And somehow, like the perfect color of yellow when you mix mustard and mayonnaise to just that right proportion. And then those pickles, there's like two just the right size individually placed on each potato. I mean, it's just, man. So Thanksgiving week, this is like the ideal. This would be like if had we hit, you know, the birth of Jesus on Christmas Sunday and the 25th were on a Sunday. I mean, that's where we're at today. It's so good. So here's the thing, though. We talk about hunger and thirst, but it doesn't really mean as much what we think it means as it meant to Jesus and those that heard him preach the Sermon on the Mount. I like this quote. When a man is hungry, the only thing that will satisfy him is food. He has no interest in anything else. You can show him diamonds and jewels and houses and lands, but if he's starving, his only desire is for food. And he realizes that all those other things that people value so highly are meaningless in comparison to satisfying his hunger. See, hunger is deep and visceral, and it's like you can't get away from it. And it's constant. You can't ignore it. Like some of you right now, because I was talking about food, like there's just that thing deep inside of you and you're really having a hard time focusing because you're thinking about lunch. And some of you are already past lunch. You're thinking about supper. And a lot of you are thinking about, you're thinking about lunch on Thursday because you're hungry. And here's like, and it never goes away. As soon as you eat, within a few hours, you're thinking about the next meal. Like, it's this ongoing, constant, like, just can't get away from it, feeling deep inside of you. And here's the thing. Hunger is a sign of life, right? Hunger is also a sign of health. Can I get an amen from all the grandmothers, right? You know, you could, listen, it's just my experience in the office. You could be on a ventilator with 12 IV drips with 84 specialists around you, but as long as you want something to eat, the grandmothers are fine. Right? You just get done running the Boston Marathon. I mean, you're feeling great, but if you turn your nose up at a fourth cookie, granny's worried about you. Grandmothers know that hunger is a sign of health. All right. What's the opposite of hunger, by the way? A quick little aside. So some people would say that the opposite of hungering and thirsting for righteousness would be hunger and thirst for sin.
Maybe. But perhaps the opposite of being hungry and thirsting for righteousness is just being full and satisfied. It's sort of like, you know, people say, what's the opposite of hate? Or opposite of love, people would say hate. But to me, the true opposite of love would be apathy. At least if someone hates me, I've evoked a strong feeling from them. If they could just care less, then that's the worst. I mean, being lukewarm is not a good thing. Lukewarm gets us in trouble. But apathy is that lukewarmness toward other people and other things. How sad must it be to be starving to death and think you're full? Just a question to ponder on, sort of an intended bunny trail, but what things that we were once passionate about have we given up on? Disappointments, disillusionments, our failures, someone else's failures. What happened that we were once so passionate for something that now we're just don't even care? Because let me just say this, you can't give up on hungry. And I think that's why Jesus is using this in his teaching, because the people who heard it realize that there's something, you don't get bored with food. You don't just, I could take it, leave it. You can try that, but you just can never, ever get away from hunger and thirst. Let me read a quote to you. The fourth beatitude is a call to pursue conformity to God's will, and it's stated in the most extreme of terms. The intensity of the expression is difficult for us to feel, because if we are thirsty today, all we need to do is to turn on the tap for cold water. And if we are hungry, we just open the refrigerator. However, to the ancient Palestinian, the expression was terribly alive because he was never far from the possibility of dehydration or starvation. It's not a comfortable picture. Jesus is far from recommending a genteel desire for spiritual nourishment, rather a starvation for righteousness and a desperate hungering to be conformed to God's will. See, the people who heard that understood what it really meant to be hungry and what it really meant to be thirsty. And we honestly don't understand that in our culture. Yesterday, Kara called me at work and was asking where some food was. And I told her it was out in our garage refrigerator. And she said, seriously? Meaning, I've got to walk out to the garage to get that. This is our understanding of hunger. I've got to walk. And to be honest, she had to walk back to the garage because she was just there getting something to drink. So this is our American understanding of hunger and thirst. I got to go back to the garage, which is all of like 20 feet away. And it's not even outside. It's an attached garage. So the fact that it's raining, she doesn't even have to walk in the weather. That is our understanding of hunger and thirsting. And that's what we're willing to do to obtain something. I might, maybe, man, the refrigerator, the garage? We've never, ever, I would dare say 99% of us in this room have never really been hungry and never really been thirsty. I don't think there's a single one of us who are anywhere near worried about starving to death. We've been hungry, sure, but we've never been hungry. And we've been thirsty, like I'm thirsty right now, you know, because it's been all of 3 minutes since I took a drink. But we think, oh, I'm thirsty because I'm slightly uncomfortable. We have no concept like Jesus' hearers had. When they heard, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they knew what that deep, visceral sense, way that you could not ignore what that meant. Because they were hungering and thirsting for food and for water to literally stay alive, not to be comfortable. Comfortable. The hunger and thirst that Jesus is talking about is a passionate desperation that says, I will go for that no matter what it cost. I mean, what would you be willing to give up? Try to imagine, like, this little tiny thing in your stomach that you think is distracting hunger. Try to imagine with me for a moment you were really hungry, that you hadn't eaten today or tomorrow or this week, and you had no idea where your next meal was coming from, that kind of hunger. What would you be willing to give up to get food? I mean, we read about Esau in the Old Testament and in Genesis 25, and we think, what a loser. I'd never sell my birthright. It's because you've never really been that hungry. If you thought you were this close to starving to death, what would you give up? Or we read about the children of Israel, and we're like, they're a little thirsty in the desert. Have you ever been 3 days without water in the desert? We ain't never been 3 minutes without water, because we got it everywhere. And we say, well, they sure did complain a lot because they were thirsty. It's because we've never really been that kind of thirsty. But the people where Jesus were talking to has been that kind of thirsty. If you were hungry enough or thirsty enough, what would you give up? Man, I'll tell you, I spent most of last Sunday in the floor, and I just thought, man, I don't want to. DJ just laid it on, just preaching the Beatitudes. It wasn't his fault. He just did what God told him to. And I just wanted this to be genteel and sweet, but it's just not what Jesus is saying. He's not patting you on the back and going, oh, there. It'll be okay. He's saying, you're going to have to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and it's going to be okay. But you're going to have to really hunger and thirst for it. And so that's my question to me this morning. See, DJ got to preach about being meek because he's meek, right? I got to preach about being hungry and thirsty because I need to be more hungry and thirsty. I don't see why it works that way. You know, Kara's going to preach about pure in heart because she's pure in heart. And I'm really worried because I'm preaching about persecuted. I got to talk to the guy that makes this schedule. What would you give up? What possessions or pride or relationship or secret or money? What would you give up if you were thought you were this close to death without the food and drink you needed so much? What would you give up? What thing do you hold so sacred, but you realize that right before you died, it had no value to just a little drink? What would you give up? If it were a matter of life and death, what would you be willing to part with? Because, saints, I've got news for you. It's a matter of life and death. Now, what we hunger and thirst for really matters. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What matters is the object of this passionate, desperate hunger and thirst. Do we desire righteousness, or do we simply desire to not be hungry anymore? Do we desire righteousness, or do we desire just to not be thirsty anymore? See, I believe that everyone hungers and thirsts for something or someone. I think we were born hungry. What is it that means more to you than anything else? What is it that you must have that drives your life, consumes your thoughts, directs your impulses? Is it for money or relationship or fame or popularity or revenge, or is it for righteousness? What is it that you would give up everything to obtain? That deep, visceral longing that you realize that you are nothing without, that you can't be distracted from, that you can't ignore, that you can't just get over, that's just always there, and you try to do, it's just in the background, it's just always there, you're always thinking about it. What is that thing? Because if that thing is a hunger and thirst for righteousness, then that's walking in the blessing of the Lord. And this quote right here is when I knew that this was going to be a good Sunday. This beatitude does not read, righteous are those who hunger and thirst after blessedness. Now, I don't know about you, but that hits deep. That hurts. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But in my flesh, I hunger and thirst for being blessed. And then when I'm blessed, I decide I was righteous. Well, I must be righteous because things are going well for me. I must be righteous because I'm not hungering and thirsting as much as I used to be. I've just, you know, finally able to get my driveway concreted. I must be righteous. That's just not the way it works. Has nothing to do with it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's what we hunger for that matters most. Now listen, this is not the time or the place for a complete unpacking of righteousness. Okay, strictly speaking, this is the place. It's just not the time. Lest we be here until Thanksgiving dinner. And I think right now you'd be okay. You just feel that hunger. Like, it's okay, preach it, brother. I'm hungry. I'm feeling righteous. Just keep it coming. But what is righteousness? There's a personal sense of righteousness, be that justification or Christ-likeness. There's also a general sense of righteousness, a state of being right for one's family or church or society. But righteousness, perhaps let's think about it as being proper or right, being justified, living in accordance with the requirements that God has for us. I think I like this definition. If sin is missing the mark, then righteousness is hitting the mark. Second Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made him, being Jesus, who had no sin, to be a sin offering for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So this is not some far out standard that we're never going to get to. This is a goal that in Christ we can become the righteousness of God. I cannot fathom how that works. I just know it's true. And it has a whole lot more to do with the righteousness and sinless and omnipotent everything of Jesus than it has to do with me. So when you read that and you go, well, you've already missed the point. Well, I couldn't this, I did this. And it's not about you. It's about Jesus. And compared to the goodness of God and the righteousness of God, I'm relatively insignificant. I'm important and you're important, and I'm not trying to tell you that you're not. I'm just trying to say this is how righteous God is. The scripture is much more about him than it is about you. So blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And we're getting excited because the filled part, I think we all like filled, right? We're smelling Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, but we're wanting to be filled. But before filled, there's a certain amount of blessed that comes simply in living the life that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. A blessed that comes before the filled promise is fulfilled. Let me say that again. I believe that there's a certain amount of blessed that comes simply in living the life that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. If we put this in terms that perhaps make a practical sense to me in this moment, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Mission Barbecue. I mean, dressing's one thing, but Mission Barbecue. I checked. You know, they've got one in Chattanooga now, 1 hour and 55 minutes to Mission Barbecue. Anybody? I see that hand. It's just something, I don't know. I just like to say that. Mission Barbecue. I mean, I'm talking about the ribs and the pulled pork and the brisket and like 12 different sauces. Even the French fries. I think each one was prayed over, not each potato. I'm talking each fry. Fried to individual perfection. Oh, I mean, a little crispy on the outside. Oh, man. And the tea. The tea is so good. Even my wife puts a little sweet tea in her unsweet tea. I mean, it is delicious. The ice cubes were made for this. This is what I... Oh, man. Mission Barbecue. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Mission Barbecue. Jesus would have said that, but he was talking to Jewish people, and it wouldn't have gone very well. Well, yeah, that's true. See, Jesus, or Jim Price would have been one of the disciples, but he doesn't eat fish, right? That's why he wasn't one of the original 12. He almost made the cut, but he doesn't eat fish. And so out he went. Jonathan would have been there, but he likes Mission Barbecue. And so, you know, they were each created for such a time as this, not then. But let me just say this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Mission Barbecue, for they set aside lesser lunches. They set aside lesser lunches. They haven't eaten the barbecue yet. They just haven't eaten other things. They intentionally plan time with their family. 2 hours both ways for conversation in the car. They'll see God's beautiful creation as they're driving. They're blessed. They're living a life that hungers and thirsts for Mission Barbecue, and there's certain things that are happening in them, certain choices they're making, but they're choosing to walk out a hunger and thirsting lifestyle that they're blessed even before they get to Chattanooga to eat it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Blessed life, they get Starbucks on the way. There are things that happen to them on the way just because they're living a life that hungers and thirsts for righteousness before they're filled. They take other people on the journey with them based on relationship and a testimony. They're blessed because they take people with them based on relationship and testimony. There's a blessing that's there in a lifestyle that hungers and thirsts for righteousness even before they're filled. And I could take you with me. And I could watch you enjoy the barbecue. I could watch you taste and see that the barbecue is good. And I'm blessed. Even if I don't eat any that day, I am blessed because you went with me and you experienced something amazing. And I hope in this moment you realize, I think somewhere about here, stop talking about barbecue. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Before they're filled, there's a blessing in that lifestyle. Because I tell you, we're not going to be completely filled on this side of eternity, but we're still blessed because we're making choices day in and day out, moment in and day out, because we can't not, because it nags at us and it gnaws at us. And we hunger and thirst for it, and it changes us and it changes our relationship with people around us. And all of a sudden, we're blessed before we ever get filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I would just say to you that the filled is not the only pouring out of blessing. That the journey of the hungry and the journey of the thirsty is a journey of being blessed. But then we're filled. What does that word filled mean? It was a word that was originally used for the feeding of animals. And they would feed them until they would eat no more. They were allowed to go to the trough or the hay bale or the field or whatever they're eating and eat until they were done. The animals were done before the food was done. That's the kind of filled that we're talking about. It means eating till you're satisfied. It's the same word used here in Matthew where he said, they all ate and were satisfied. This is when Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes, which again would have been the barbecue sandwiches and french fries. Now, and they ate till they were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. They were satisfied. That's the same word. They were filled. They ate everything they could possibly eat. They were stuffed to the brim. And we know that nobody left. There was still extra left. That's what it means to be filled. It's that kind of filled. Totally full with extra left over. It's like not trying to divide up the last piece of pie at Thanksgiving. It's like there's 12 more pies still sitting there. So just keep eating till you're full filled. And Jesus would use this figuratively, referring to an experience of inward satisfaction, being fully satisfied or content. It's a promise that we will find what we're looking for, what we're longing for, the very righteousness that we are so hungry and so thirsting for, that we have come to terms with the fact that we cannot live without it, that we would give up everything and anything to obtain it, that we can't ignore it, we can't get away from it. No matter what we try, there's this nagging, visceral longing for that righteousness, and then we're going to receive it. That's what it means to be filled. What a promise. Now, there's a bit of truth in tension here. Because this is the filling that it's like full. Well, there you go. It's full filled. It's like full filled. It's full. It's totally, completely, all-encompassing filled. It's like the water thing is, it's totally to the top, and then there's more to put in. It's like full. You can't get any more full kind of filled. So yet, while it's all-encompassing, the filling is all-encompassing, I would say that the hunger and thirst is progressive. Meaning that as you're filled, you become aware of the more that there is to be filled with, and then you hunger and thirst for that more. Because we're becoming the righteousness of God, which is basically God is so good that his righteousness is infinite. We can't comprehend or grasp the righteousness of God. And we can try, and I think we're going to do that for all eternity. But as we progressively walk toward that, we realize there's more to walk toward. And our ability to express that righteousness is increased. And then we hunger and thirst for the ability to express the more that we just saw. And it wasn't that we weren't filled in this moment. We're completely filled. But yet at the same time being completely filled, we see that there's more, and we're hungry for the more, and we're filled with the more because we're hungry for the more. And it's a progressive walk toward expressing the righteousness of God, which is an eternal, impossible task, but it's going to be really fun to do. So that's the truth intention. You're completely full, completely satisfied, but yet in that moment, your capacity to carry the righteousness of God, because you were so hungry and thirsty, that capacity is expanded, and then you can carry more. And then when you get that more, there's more. It's like at Thanksgiving, they bring out all this food, and you're like, I can't possibly eat anything else, just to find that that was only the appetizer. But see, this is not Thanksgiving dinner when you eat that and you just can't carry anymore and you get sick because you were hungering and thirsting for something else. But when you hunger and thirst for righteousness and you're completely full and you're not sick, it's amazing. And then you realize there's more. And somehow in that moment, when you didn't think that you could hold any more, then there's a capacity for the more. And you're not sick, you're blown away. And you're in his presence, you're like, oh my God, I didn't even, and then in that moment, you're completely full and completely satisfied, but not from a place, but you don't get lazy, you get excited for the more, and your capacity for the more is increased. So yes, you're completely full. I'm not trying to take away from what it means to be filled, I'm just trying to say that all-encompassing fulfillment, then there is a progressive hunger that comes in with that. It's the other side of that truth that leads us to an experience of God that is ever increasing because God's righteousness is bigger than you can comprehend. Which is why whatever else it is in your life that is nagging at you has to become lesser to the nagging visceral hunger for him, because there's more of him than there is of you. No matter how hungry you are for something, literal, like food, or no matter what your needs are, I'm not saying there aren't real needs. I'm just saying compared to his righteousness, they get progressively smaller in comparison. Everything gets small in comparison to infinity. And that's the righteousness of God. It's a truth intention. We are filled, completely satisfied, yet we want more of him. We are completely filled with righteousness, and yet our capacity for righteousness is to be increased. See, the blessing is both in the filling and the capacity increasing to be filled with more. The blessing is in the all-encompassing nature of being filled, and yet at the same time, the progressive nature of the hunger and the thirst. Blessed means spiritually prosperous, independent of one's circumstances, because it is a state bestowed by God and not a feeling felt. Fortune, approved of God, happy, independent of happenings. It's an approval of God, independent of circumstance. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. See, there's the explicit message that we've been talking about. But again, this is something that is worked out in our life, in the kingdom, in Jesus, and not something that we have to bring to him. It's an outworking of life in him and through him. Now there's the so there's the express message, but there's also an implicit, implied message that comes with this, which is if you don't hunger and thirst for righteousness, you won't become and be made righteous. The natural state of humanity is not increasing in righteousness and holiness by itself. And if you hunger and thirst for something else, you're likely to be filled with that. But being filled with anything other than righteousness is not consistent with being blessed. It's consistent with all sorts of other things. And we see this when we hunger and thirst for possession, relationship, position, power, money, whatever it is. We find that same truth. We just want more and more and more. But instead of a progressive satisfaction that leads us toward God, we find a progressive, honestly, depression and anxiety and all sorts of very bad things that don't go well for us when we're full of other things. We get sick. And it may feel good in the moment. Like right now, some of you are thinking, if I just slip into my purse and eat that Reese cup, I'll feel good. And you will for about 10 minutes, and then your blood sugar will plummet, and you'll feel very sick to your stomach. Right? There are things that in the moment, they just feel good. And like, oh, we solved my hunger problem. The thing is, your hunger problem was a hunger and thirst for righteousness, not a hunger and thirst for anything that your flesh desires. And filling the desires of the flesh, though in the moment you might think, hey, that's what I needed. In the long term, it leads to death. See, that's the thing. That's the thing about hunger. When we're full of righteousness, it leads to life, and full of anything else leads to death. Worship team, if you guys would come back. So I would say there's probably only two reasons right now that you don't want Mission Barbecue. Two reasons. Number one, you've just never had it. I mean, if you had had Mission Barbecue, you would want Mission Barbecue. So either you've never had it, or you're full of something else. You have just eaten your full. You're just not hungry. That's the only reason I could think of right now that you would not want to get in a car and go with me to Chattanooga. If you don't have a desire, a deep, visceral, non-distractible, all-encompassing, permeating desire for Jesus, I would just suggest to you that you've either never met him or you're full of something else. I've got good news for you. If you've never met him, he's here. There are some brothers and sisters in this room that would love to introduce you. And if you just know Jesus, that you're at a take him or leave him place in your life. You came to church today because it was convenient, because it was Thanksgiving. You came because you're mom was in town for Thanksgiving dinner and you want her to think you go to church, so you came here. But you're just really hoping that you could slip out before anybody knows that the guy's still preaching. You were honestly thinking, I should have gone to the bathroom 5 minutes ago and then just left. You're thinking about Thanksgiving, you're thinking about football, you're thinking about anything else but Jesus. You could just really care less. And I would just say to you, the Jesus you think you know, you've probably not met the real Jesus. Because the Jesus I know is not a take him or leave him kind of guy. And if there's something in you that you're just not hungry for him, then we need to get that something out. And it's a place of repentance to say, I've hungered and thirst for other things. And I'm here to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you know what? Not because I want some blessing. I just want to be filled with righteousness. I realize that what I've been eating is making me sick. You know, I thought that day I bought my first new car, then I had arrived, but then after a while, it wasn't good enough, so I needed a nicer car and a nicer car. And I thought if I ever could get $1,000 in my bank account, then I'd be there. But then I got $1,000. But then I just, man, if I could just get $1,500. I'm just telling you, there's not a car nice enough, a bank account rich enough, a relationship deep enough, a meal that tastes good enough, a drug that will get you high enough. There's not anything in this world will satisfy the hunger and thirst that you're longing in your heart. And whatever it is that you tried to fill yourself with, it's just not going to do it. And man, I pray for you. If you're like, man, I'm feeling pretty good without Jesus, my heart goes out to you. How sad it would be to die of starvation thinking you were full. Man, if that's you, if you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, please, please let me pray for you. If you think you're doing okay without Jesus, you're wrong. I love you, but you're wrong. And then I'm aware that there's a lot of us that are kind of in between, right? We know Jesus, we want more of him. But we're struggling, like we want more Jesus, but it's just hard. And there's a lot of us. I mean, I think that's me. So I'm going to give my altar call for me with a quote from A.W. Tozer. Is that okay with you guys? You're welcome to listen. I think you have part of it in your notes. And I'm going to read the whole thing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hunger is a pain. It's God's merciful provision, a divinely sent stimulus to propel us in the direction of food. If food hunger is a pain, thirst, which is water hunger, is 100-fold worse. And the more critical the need becomes within the living organism, the more acute the pain. It is nature's last drastic effort to rouse the imperiled life to seek to renew itself. A dead body feels no hunger, and the dead soul knows not the pang of holy desire. If you want God, said the old saint, you may have already found him. Our desire for fuller life is proof that some life may and must already be there. Our very dissatisfaction should encourage us, and our yet unfilled aspirations should give us hope. See, saints, one of the most dangerous things we can be is satisfied. Because you stop the journey when you think you have arrived. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be a sin offering for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I am so aware of the distance between where I am and where God's called me to be. And man, what in this moment, if you're like me and you're feeling kind of uneasy, you're like, man, I hunger and thirst for righteousness, but you know, sometimes I hunger and thirst for other things and I don't want to, and I want more of that. I'll tell you what, you are in a great place. And that's, so number one, if you need to meet Jesus, today's the day. Number two, if you're not really hungry for him, today's the day. And number three, if you just need someone to encourage you, to stand with you, to pray for you and say, you know what? The fact that there's just this unsatisfied place in your life doesn't mean that you're living in sin. It might very well mean that you're exactly where God wants you. Because I'll tell you, my prayer for me and our prayer for this church is that we're never satisfied with where we are. That we're filled, yet we're hungry. We're filled, yet we're hungry. That we experience God and we realize that we need nothing else but him, but yet we want more of him. So as we worship, I would invite you just to come and meet with the Lord, and then we'll see what happens from there. Would you stand with me? Jesus, we love you. We open up our hearts and say, God, we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Increase our hunger and thirst for you. God, I pray right now specifically for the men and women who are sitting here and they think they're okay without you. God, let them, just give them just that place in their heart. Make them hungry for something more. God, for those who are in this room, for those that we love, that are out there, that we're connected to, that aren't here, but they're in our hearts, so they're here. God, we just ask that you would make them wholly dissatisfied with everything else in their world but you. And I pray that same prayer for me, God. Jesus, we love you. And we just love these moments in your presence. God, I thank you that these moments in your presence aren't because of the worship team or this building. It's because of you, because you're here. God, I just ask that we would be able to sit at your feet with an awareness of your presence tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday and every day. Jesus, I love you. I ask that you would increase our hunger and increase our thirst for your righteousness. God, I thank you for a body of believers who want more of you. You know, one of the things that I often feel in my own heart is I have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, but I want more. And at times I want to want more than I do want. And I just would encourage myself and all of us this week that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness is not an entrance requirement. It is something that is worked out in us as we do life in Him and in His kingdom. And so if we want to hunger and thirst for more of His righteousness, more of His presence, then I think what we're called to do is just spend time in His presence, and then we're going to want more of it. So my encouragement to all of us this week is just to spend time in His Word, in His presence, talking to Him and listening to Him. And that's where we begin to see that hunger and thirst increase. As we spend time with Him, we want more of it. And we're not called to just wait till we have some arbitrary expectation of wanting Him before we begin to do that. If we'll just do it step at a time and spend time in His presence, we're going to want more of that. And the easier it is to not fill ourselves with other things, the more we fill ourselves with Him. It's not about us performing, it's about a relationship with Him.
Amen. Thank you, Casey. Father, we do thank you for just the admonition to want more, to seek you more, to experience more of you. Because it is only in you that there is an abundant life. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Please join us online at heritagefellowship.us or in person in Jefferson City, Tennessee, as we encounter God, touch lives, and impact nations.